From your World News headquarters on the World Wide Web, it's time for your daily dose of sanity. This is the Maria Heller Show. Maria Heller is a published author, founder of the Universal Wheel, a lifestyle and philosophy based on our interconnectedness to all living things, a Reiki master, and delivers the news with spiritual views. How many intuitive news decoders, animal rights activists, and vegetarian broadcasters are there? Just one. Maria. Maria has provided independent news for a smart audience for over 13 years now on the Maria Heller Show, available at maria.net.
M-E-R-I-A.net.
And now, here is your host, the mouth that roars, Maria Heller.
Good morning, world. Maria here, alive and kicking. Welcome to the Maria Heller Show. I've got an excellent guest for you today, and I'm going to tell you, I promise you, a mind-blowing experience. That's all I can say. You know, I mean, my listeners, you guys know that I read loads of books all year long, but I will tell you this. This one is at the top of the list. This is not a maybe you should get the book. This is one you should get and tell all your friends about. So let me tell you about my guest. His name's Daniel Estulin. He's an award-winning investigative journalist. He's the best-selling author of The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, which has been published in 64 countries, translated into 41 languages. In a front-page article, Wall Street Italy called Estulin one of the few people who understands the current crisis. He's also authored 12 books, five of them international bestsellers. He's sold over 6 million copies worldwide. For my listeners who may be new to the show or not, go back in the archives to March 22nd, 2008 and hear the hour-long interview we did on the Bilderberg Group. I can tell you that Daniel's done the best work on the Bilderbergs of anybody out there. Today we're going to be talking about his new book, which totally blew my mind, and it takes a lot, Transevolution, The Coming Age of Human Deconstruction. So I'm very pleased to have Daniel back on the show. Good morning, Daniel.
Good morning. Thank you so much for the invitation. It's a pleasure and honor to be back on the show after quite a few years.
Yes, I can't believe I said, oh, let me go look and see when Daniel was last on the show. And I saw 2008, and I said, oh, my God, where did the time go?
Yeah, I've done a few things since then. Yeah, exactly.
Now, don't you also have a movie out or just about ready to be released?
We are in the post-production stage. It's taking a bit longer than we had, hoped, but it should be coming out in time for the festival season or in the summer.
Oh, great.
It's the my version of the true story of the Bilderberg Group, a documentary, and it's going to be a worldwide release in the United States and in other countries across the world.
Great. Well, make sure I get a copy so I can get you back on the show before another 6 years
Absolutely.
Passes. So we can help promote the movie, too.
Yeah,
Daniel, I have to tell you, this book says it all, okay? Every now and then, I rarely get a book where everything you need to know is in one book. And it's, thank God, it's not a two-inch thick book either. I mean, you say it all in less than 230 pages.
It's, once you understand how things work, how the processes work, and the structures work, you don't really need all that many pages, you know, to make yourself understood.
Well,
you
make it very clearly understood. I got to tell you, I think I wrote the word wow about 100 times throughout the book in the index on it. I was like, wow, wow, wow. And it's funny because when I got your book, you know, I do a lot of my reading at the gym while I'm on the treadmill. And the man next to me said, what are you reading now? And I just gave him the pages that your publicist sent with it. And he was totally blown away just reading that.
It's a different kind of book. You know, with Bilderberg, what happened was when I published Bilderberg back in 2005, and it became instantaneously, almost overnight, an international bestseller. Now it's like in, I don't know, 70 countries, translated in 40-some-odd languages. But Bilderberg was easy because, you know, we always knew that, the coup d'etats and financial crisis and some kind of shenanigans that, you know, taking place all over the world. We knew that somebody was doing it. We didn't know who was doing it. We didn't know who these they were, what they looked like, but we knew that it wasn't, as a result of some kind of, coincidence. But, you know, when I published Bilderberg, I explained who these they were, what they looked like, you know, the deeds, their, you know, actions, the documents, the photographs, you know, the Bilderberg reports, etc. And suddenly when you finish the book, you said to yourself, aha, so these are the bad guys. But with this book, Transevolution, because we're dealing with the future, even though it's a very near future, we're extrapolating our knowledge, you know, from what we know into some of these unknown areas. So when you actually get to the end of the book, you have a lot of questions, which not that you, you know, not that I don't answer because I answer all the questions, but there's just so many new questions that come up simply because, again, we're dealing with the unknown entity, which is the future, for as, you know, and near the future as you may have. And, you know, as I explain in the book.
Absolutely. And, you know, I'm sure it was synchronistic that I got a movie last week to watch, Total Recall, the new one with Colin Farrell. And I had just finished reading your book, and I sat down to relax and watch a movie. And I was like, oh, my God, this movie is all about Daniel's book. This is exactly what they have planned. And I don't know if you've seen it. But it's a remake.
You know, I've seen all of the, you know, high-tech films, and, you know, if you start actually, Hollywood is, you know, if you want to understand, you know, what these people have in store for us, you know, the best thing to do is watch Hollywood films, and I'm not talking about films like, you know, Driving Miss Daisy or August, you know, Osage Country. I'm talking about, you know, the high-tech, you know, types of films. Terminator, Blade Runner, RoboCop, G.I. Joe 2, that deals with nanotechnology. Prototype talks about singularity. Transcendence, that's a new one that's coming out in about, you know, 3 weeks with Johnny Depp, where he dies, and they upload his brain onto a computer, and his, you know, unconsciousness tries to take over the world, which is exactly what the transhumanist movement is all about. Gattaca. That was a great film with Jude Law, and where, you know, they're talking about synthetic biology. Public Enemy with Will Smith. Here's your NSA saying hello to us. I Am Legend. Also, you remember that one with Will Smith?
Oh, yeah.
Where, you know, he was the last scientist left in the world, you know, after the virus swept through and killed everyone. Mm-hmm. Well, we have that, you know, any day could happen. Moon, that was a great film, really low budget. You know, but, you know, Moon Space Exploration, where the guy who was actually there at the end of the film realizes that he is not a person, you know, he's a replicant of you know, the same, they make a robot version of himself.
Exactly.
So they just keep dying every 3 years, and they keep working the moon surface and sending all the minerals back to Earth. Minority Report, Avatar. Then there's video games like Deus Ex, Elysium, which just came out a few months ago, over the summer. You know, there's a lot of stuff out there and that deal exactly with, you know, with the things that I talk about in the book. The new series on Fox, Almost Human, where one of the main characters is a cyborg cop. So yes, high-tech and Hollywood are synonymous, and what you see in these films is exactly what they want you to see, because again, we're dealing with the near future, so they're preparing the terrain, so when these things actually begin to take shape in our society, people will not be shocked by what they see around them.
Exactly, and of course they glorify all of this transhumanism and the thought that, oh, we could all live forever.
You know, the what I discovered in this book, and again, when, you know, when I started working on Transevolution, and I think the subtitle is also quite, you know, telling, The Coming Age of Human Deconstruction. I got the impetus to write this book because back in 2005, I got from my sources at the Bilderberg Conference what turned later to be a strategic trends report, 2007-2006. It was basically a secret source document on the future of humanity. So the people who met at Bilderberg 2005, one of the key areas they discussed is this. It was a blueprint for the future of humanity. And I got about 32 or 33 or 34 pages of that report, which wasn't a report shape, it was just talking points. Later, it turned into a 91-page report, which, by the way, today, you know, people who are listening to us, you can go to Google and download it for free. It's called Strategic Trends Report, 2007-2036, and it's a secret source document. Now, it's not secret at all. On the future of humanity, read it. You'll realize, you'll be awestruck by what you're reading about what these people have in store for us. Right. And one of the conclusions of my book, the new book, Transevolution, is that we're standing at the cusp of the greatest evolutionary change in the history of mankind. What we're about, you know, to happen to us as human beings has never happened before as a result of this incredible technological advancements we're living with, you know, today. The fact is that our children, which is another conclusion, are the last truly human generation of beings on the planet Earth. I mean, you know, the kids who are 15, 20 years old today. Their children, in other words, my grandchildren, they will no longer be 100% human. They will be transhuman children. They may be post-human children. They might be man-machine children. They may be cyborg children. They may be beings who are not totally human as a result of this amazing revolution in synthetic biology that can literally create beings, individuals, in a laboratory, you know, by changing our DNA. As a result, for example, you know, of genetically modified crop. So there's so much going on at the tech level, and tech level that people don't even, you know, understand that exists, because most people, unfortunately, are not tech savvy. And considering that, you know, in the United States, 25%, according to a latest survey of, you know, of Americans, don't even know that the planet Earth spins around the sun. Just goes to show you how little people understand about technology. So what's about to hit us, again, will forever change the very definition of what a human being is on the planet Earth.
Right, and that's pretty damn scary. All I thought about were all these other civilizations like Atlantis that messed around with things they shouldn't have been messing around with and then just blew themselves to hell. I wanted to ask you, what's the name of that report again for people to Google? Strategic Trends Report.
Strategic, actually several reports. One is called Strategic Trends Report 2007-2036. Now there's the, you know, the updated version, which is 2010-2040. Just Google it and you can get it offline for free. There are other reports. You know, one is called The Age of Transition. The other one is called NBIC Report. It's a big, it's about a 600-page report. But Strategic Trends is easy because it's 91 pages. It's very easy to understand. But again, some of the things that they talk about, and again, when I say they, keep in mind that at 2005, after the Bilderberg meeting ended, the most important members of the inner circle of the Bilderberger elite, they went to a castle on the outskirts of Munich, where they met over 2.5 days at the end of the Bilderberg conference. And from this meeting came out later this report, Strategic Trends Report. And what they're talking about is terrifying. They're saying, for example, that between now and 2036, world's population will go from 7 to 10 billion people. They're saying that by 2036, that's in 20 years, two-thirds of the world's population will be living in areas of water stress. The lack of food, water, medicine, proper hygiene, education, and basic human necessities spells collapse. And without mincing words, they talk about growing gap between majority and a small number of highly visible super rich will pose an increasing threat to social order and stability. And as a result of this breakdown in society, we can expect civil war, intercommunal violence, insurgency, pervasive criminality, widespread disorder, and as a result of the collapse. This is all in the report, which when you read it, you know, you'll realize that I'm not making any of this up. The result of this collapse in the economy will destroy nation states, which is countries, and then these countries will be replaced by mega cities of 20 to 30 million people each, which themselves, as a result of this unimaginable displacement of population on a world scale, will collapse into endemic lawlessness and high levels of violence by the year 2035. This is the future that we're looking at, and they have a name for this future, the world of Blade Runner. This is what they call it, and if you go back to the film, which is why I said again, pay close attention to Hollywood high-tech films because they tell the real story. Because again, I don't know if you saw Ulysses with Matt Damon.
Yes,
this came out last summer.
Yes, I did.
Remember when, you know, they created this, you know, synthetic planet somewhere between the Earth and the Moon, and all the wealthy people live there cancer-free, disease-free. All you need to have is a couple of billion dollars, you know, and you can go up there. And the rest of us, the 99.9% of the human, you know, cattle, we all live here in endemic lawlessness, insurgency, pervasive criminality, widespread disorder. This is the world that they have for us. And again, if we look at the structure, because what I do in Transevolution, you know, it's not a book just only deals with transhumanism and technology. You know, I create a roadmap in this world that we're living today that's going to hell in a handbasket. Okay, I create a roadmap, a three-dimensional model that explains how technology, space exploration, transhumanism, singularity, you know, social media or media in general, you know, synthetic biology, all these incredible advancements in different sciences from, you know, quantum revolutions to information revolution and synthetic revolution to economy itself. Why is the economy, you know, being collapsed on purpose by these people? For what purpose? And how all of these elements fit into this one very easy to understand model, which literally, you know, help anyone who wants to see what's in front of them. And needless to say, we're talking about survival of you know, of the planet Earth.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, if people don't want to read 600-page reports, I mean, you have you certainly have all the information and links to where people can see where you got the information in your book. You're not making it up. You know, they can just get your book. And like I said, man, impress your friends with it, because you better impress your friends pretty quick, because you're saying 2015 is the beginning of a new dark age. And that's just next year.
You know, it's but to a lot of people, a lot of the stuff that goes on around us, they don't quite understand how it works. So let me just very, very briefly, in a couple of minutes, explain it to them.
Sure.
You know, in schools and universities, you know, on a political level, we always talk about, you know, the foreign policy, you know, and national policy, you know. But there's another policy, which is the global policy. And that global policy is not controlled by governments. It's not controlled by the elite. It's controlled by the super, you know, wealthy, you know, the man behind the curtain, the globalists who run the world from behind the scenes, at levels far above the Bilderberg level, the Trilateral Commission level, which is why, unless you understand that, you can't understand what's happening in Ukraine. You can't understand what's happening in Venezuela. You can't understand why Detroit looks like a bombed out, you know, post-apocalyptic shell, you know, of a city which once was a very prosperous city and a motor of American economy. You can't understand why, you know, all these Western countries, United States, France, Italy, England, you know, want to invade Mali and Central African Republic. But to understand how all this stuff works today in what's going on around us, you have to understand it's not about, you know, foreign or national policies. It's about a global policy controlled by elements far above government level. So what they're doing right now is, on the one hand, and I explained this in the first chapter, as you said, you don't need to read 600-page report. My book is like 200 pages. It's what they're doing right now is they're destroying the world economy on purpose, on the one hand, okay, deindustrializing the world, you know, terms like zero growth, for example, which we see a lot of, okay? And the reason they're doing this, on the one hand, is because progress and development is directly proportional to population density. So we have technology, if we have progress, if we have development, 7 billion is going to go to 10 billion. And 10 billion means more mouths to feed, and because we're living on a small planet with limited natural resources, you know, ever-growing population base, and, you know, less and less water, if for the Rockefellers of this world, this is just a metaphor for powerful people, okay, for them to eat, most of us have to die. But killing us is expensive with bullets, because we're going to figure it out sooner or later. So if you could destroy the economy, okay, what you're doing is you're, you know, forcing the collapse in population base, because if there's no progress, no technology, there's no way we can, you know, give, you know, support to such an incredible population base. And people may ask a very logical question. Why would the elite want to, you know, destroy the economy when, you know, they destroy the economy, they don't make any money in a capitalist system? They don't need to make more money. Then, you know, they have all the money in the world. They already control 90% of the planet Earth. What they need to do is to make sure that they survive in this, you know, world economic collapse. And for them to survive, we need to disappear. So that's on the one hand. But on the other hand, while they're deindustrializing the world, while in the United States, Obama is destroying NASA, on the world stage, the elite are using the gazillions of dollars in wealth that they have, you know, to create this incredible technology so far out there, is so removed from anything that we even understand, that, you know, this divide between 0.01% and 99.99% is greater than ever. And so while they're sending us to hell, they're getting ready, you know, to conquer the galaxies. And that's what we're looking at right now. And as the report said, you're going to have a growing, you know, majority of hungry citizens and a very small super rich who will need maximum protection from the 99.9% of the population. And there's not enough guns in the world, you know, when you have 7 billion people going after you. So you really do need super high tech in order, on the one hand, to protect yourself from us, and on the other hand, to separate them from us even more than we already separated, you know, on the global scale.
Well, you look at all these private companies that, and, you know, the fact that, you know, we're all looking at Mars and this and that, and I think about a lot of these movies. I think it was, I'm trying to think of the name of, I think it might have been either 2012 or one of those movies where they show the rich making these giant arcs to save themselves when they destroy the rest of the world. Do you think that a lot of this Mars mission, etc., is them actually playing Superman, trying to flee the planet while they can?
You know, that's it's an excellent question. I always ask myself these kinds of questions. This is what I mean when I said, you know, when you read the book, when you finish it, you have these kinds of questions.
Right.
It's you know, 2012 was a stupid film, but that was the only scene that I really liked in that film. We have these, you know, gazillionaires getting on these arcs after paying $1 billion each to save themselves from, you know, the collapse of the entire society. So even though space exploration is an amazing thing, when you have, for example, you have Mars One, which is a Dutch private corporation, which is getting, you know, ready to send four astronauts on a one-way journey to Mars, you know, an experimental colony by the year 2018. But in one direction, only there, they're not coming back. They're going to get there, they're going to colonize it, and then they're going to die there, because these are the, you know, real space explorers and pioneers. And then the Russians and the European Space Agency are getting ready to do the same thing by 2023. And then you have, you know, private corporations like Planetary Resources and Golden Spike Company are working around the clock on a landing mission to the moon, and the mission critical projects of asteroid mining. But my question is, as your question is, what's going to happen? You know, so these people are going to go to Mars, and everybody's going to, you know, take pictures of them, and the media is going to be there, and they're going to go and never come back. But does that mean that, well, in another part of the world where there is no cameras, the rich and the super rich are also getting ready to do the same thing? And if they are getting ready to do the same thing, what is it that they know that we don't? Nuclear wars? Nano wars? Bacteriological wars? I mean, they would know they're organizing these operations above, you know, over and above societal levels. And if you read the Strategic Trends Report, you know, their intentions are clear. By the year 2050, we are going to power ships that go in significant numbers with people in them to Mars. That's like a generation and a bit from now, we're going to have people going to Mars the same way people take a bus or train, you know, from one part of New York to another.
Right. Right, so they'll ruin another planet. That's what I say. They'll just go there to ruin another planet. Too bad we can't send all of our world leaders on a one-way trip.
You know, the thing about space exploration, you know, when I was with Castro back in 2010, I asked him, I said, Comandante, you know, how do you understand immortality? And he started talking about Karl Marx, and, you know, and they kind of stopped because he looked at me and he saw me, you know, looking kind of funny, right? And he said, well, how do you see it? And I said to him, you know, a lot of people, you know, think that immortality is when someone crosses himself 30 times a day, and when you die, your soul goes to heaven. I said, maybe that's the case. I don't know. No one has ever come back and told me that's the way it's done. But I think immortality is the obligation of the human race to assure the survival of our species and to survive the species. Because, you know, what's going to happen 50 years from now? How about 100 years from now? What about 1,000? What about 10,000? They're simply going to get to a point where we're not going to have enough resources. So it's our calling as human beings, with our divine spark of reason, to conquer the moon, to go to Mars, to conquer the galaxies. Because, you know, if you want to talk about natural resources, there's no better place than space. For example, Moon harbors very important reserves of helium-3, which is a very rare isotope on Earth, and it's the ideal element to realize nuclear fusion. You know, just it's a kind of source of energy which is abundant in much of the solar system, you know, and especially on the Moon because it's closest to us. There is enough, in fact, fuel on the Moon, just on the surface of helium-3, to meet the present energy needs of the entire planet Earth for the next 2,000 years. And it's an amazing source, but also, like any technology, it's a double-edged sword. It's an amazing source of energy, but helium-3 being a natural decay product, a decay product of radioactive tritium, it is the most effective and most efficient for the production of thermonuclear weapons. So you can, you know, provide energy for everybody, or you can just kill all us off,
exactly.
Depending on how you want to look at it.
Right. Well, I've never seen the government ever use technology for anything good. You know, whenever they discover something new, it's like, I just say, right, how long before they weaponize it? You know, and I mean, you know, Nikola Tesla gave us free energy, you know, over 100 years ago, but that's not something we've ever had access to.
You know what I'm saying? But if you think about it, just how amazing this stuff is. You know, we've seen the kind of improvements that come from you know, this exponential growth of information technology. Mm-hmm. You know, communication technologies are a trillion, you know, of times more powerful than they were a century ago. You know, when we were sending Morse code over AM radio frequencies, for example. So if you follow the, you know, the trajectory of ongoing progress at an exponential pace, we'll get to the point where we may merge with this technology and greatly expand our own intelligence. And this is what transhumanists are after. Well, when you combine transhumanist movement and you understand it's just, you know, you put it on its head, transhumanism comes from humanism, which comes from scientism. When you really put it on its head, it's a good old eugenics operation, you know, without anybody noticing it. So when you realize that and you realize how it fits into the system of population control, deindustrialization, debasement of education, you know, destruction of the economy, of the human spirit, you know, social engineering, we're using the media to control, especially as a great, you know, chapter on social media and how that's used today to control us.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. But I do see it backfire every now and then when, you know, the pressure gets put on by people online and the government has to relook at certain things. Of course, I think about Ed Snowden and his revelations on NSA. What do you think about that? Did you see that as a good thing? Do you think that could slow their plans down?
It came out, but, you know, anybody who's anyone, you know, all the intelligence agencies in the world, you know, knew that this is exactly, you know, the way things worked. Putin, when they asked him what he thought, he said, you know, he didn't say anything that we didn't know. And it's obvious. So a person, you know, normal, you know, 9-to-5 Joe may not have known, but anyone who is into this, you know, business of investigating and spying and, you know, governments, everyone knew this is exactly how it works. But it's, you know, you can take it, you can extrapolate it to, you know, to a much simpler level. You know, for example, if you look at the social media today, and again, one of the things I hear often enough is that you have to be careful, the government is going to shut down internet. My question is, why would the government want to shut down internet? When, you know, they do that, they, you know, suddenly go blind with internet. They have access to 7 billion people, and everything you do is an open book. Let me give you an example.
Sure.
Take Twitter, for example, okay? Mm-hmm. Just a simple, stupid little Twitter. You know, people say it's 140 characters. No, it's not. It's a gold mine of information. There's your IP address, location when you opened your Twitter account, 37 pieces of data in each Twitter tape, but that's not all. Twitter conversations are real-time statements from millions of people from one moment to the next. They hold an incredible wealth of information. It's called trending topics. Mm-hmm. How does the world's mood change throughout the day as a result of a particular event or a whole series of changes, orchestrated or otherwise? What happens in Ukraine? You know, did somebody get killed? Did somebody get, you know, so how did that, you know, throughout the day affect all the developments in the world? Twitter and social media allow a person or a series of people or social scientists to understand systems It allows them to capture conversations on the societal scale, see them all, and put them in perspective from a much, much higher plateau, something that was up until now absolutely impossible. You could talk the same about Facebook, you could talk about Google, that indexes everything on the internet, you know, and all of these corporations, it's an interlocked, you know, in system of the United States security apparatus. You know, and for example, Google. You know, people don't know that Google is not Google, it's Google. G-O-O-G-O-L. That's how you spell it. And Google, a word, is an infinite number. A one followed by 100 zeros. It's an infinite number. Infinity has no limits. But then neither does Google. Or do people really think that the owners of the company simply pulled this cute little number out of the hat? Mm. Remember, limitless anything spells control. So all these corporations, you know, Google, Microsoft, Apple, it doesn't matter, they're all part of the same system. And because they're Bilderberg-affiliated corporations, you know, they know when you sleep, when you eat, what you watch, when you watch it, who you watch it with, you know, how often you watch it, what you do after you watch it. If after watching it you go to Amazon, you buy a book. If after watching it you go and surf, you know, God knows what. All of that stuff says a lot about you, the person.
Right.
Okay? And this is the kind of stuff that's out there. And if you remember way back when, you know, spies had to place a bug in your chandelier to hear your conversations. But today with smartphones, you know, smart, you know, homes, you don't need to do that. You know, you'd be sending tab geolocated data, okay, that any spy agency can intercept in real time, you know, when you're using any of these applications, appliances, you know, phones.
Right.
And that's how all that stuff works.
Well, I can tell you, I have to tell you, I use social media the same way myself. You know, I'll post certain topics on Facebook and then I wait to see what the general feeling is out there. And I use that information on my show because it gives me a good gauge of what people think about particular topics.
Now imagine what a social scientist with a $1 billion budget across the world can actually do. And then I have people, you know, I have people I call in my, you know, we've done about 200 interviews in 2 weeks because, as you said in the beginning, this book has taken America by storm. And, you know, people are saying to you, well, you know, my footprint is zero. I don't have a cell phone and I don't use internet and my television, you know, is rotary. I said, it doesn't matter because they'll find you anyway. Human beings emit radio waves in the ELF spectrum. The security services don't need to place a bug on us to track where we are, what we're talking about, what we're seeing, what we're thinking. All this information is being leaked into our environment 24/7 by our bodies. All it takes is the right equipment to convert these signals into intelligence. And it's no bigger a task than, for example, listening to a telephone exchange, leaking radio waves, and reconstructing the data into voice or data transmissions. It's the same thing, you know, but people simply don't know it. They don't know what they have. Technology, again, is an amazing thing. I have a smartphone, it's an Android, and I love it, you know, and it's a very useful thing, but again, it all depends how it's being used and by whom.
Absolutely. Well, that's always key in almost everything. It's the intent of the user. Daniel, we're going to go to a short break. When we get back, I'd like to talk more about their plans for this transhumanism because it's absolutely mind-blowing. So stay with us. Daniel Estelin and I will be right back.
Okay.
Wow. One solid hour of commercial-free information thanks to you. The person who wants truth has the integrity and understanding to support it with your donation and subscription. Maria believes people can handle the truth and delivers it tirelessly with those with ears to listen. 14 years on the net. Won't you take a moment right now to commit to a subscription of your choice at www.maria.net. That's MERIA.net. Over 1,100 hours of pure education all in one place, 24/7 and all downloadable. Knowledge is power. Sharing that knowledge is wisdom. Together we can change the world and create real hope. Now let's get back to the Maria Heller Show.
A Okay, welcome back. I'm sure we've already given you a ton to think about. This is one of those shows you'll say, Maria, I re-listened to it about four times so I could get all of it out of there. Get over and check out Daniel's work at danielestelin.com. There's a live link right here. Check through it. His other book that I highly recommend, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group. This one I can't say enough about, Transevolution, The Coming Age of Human Deconstruction. Daniel, welcome back.
Thank you so much.
One thing that I've been telling people for many years, and of course they said I'm a conspiracy freak, I'm crazy, you know, the usual. I said the only thing I trust our governments to do is kill us all. And when I look at everything from genetically modified food to the chemtrail spraying in the sky to the, you know, radioactivity from Fukushima, the, you know, constant oil leaks, et cetera, it just seems like I'm right. I didn't know how right I was until I read your whole book, okay? Genetically modified food, I tell people I honestly believe, and now I have some proof in my hand, that it's deliberate to cause us to become sterile. And you look at how much the male testosterone, especially in America, has dropped, the amount of less births, women having more and more problems having children. You look at supposedly the children's learning disorders from the genetically modified food and vaccines. Do you see all of this as part of their evil plan, their Agenda 21?
It's, you know, it's all part of what we talked about before, of the global, global control. It's, you have the global policy, you know, you have foreign policy, you have national policy, and you have a global policy. And needless to say, reducing population is a very important element for these people. And one of the ways they're doing it is, you know, is through synthetic biology. Now, you know, I explained in the book that one of the biggest breakthroughs in recent history is scientists have created a synthetic genome that can replicate. And what they've done is they've taken a cell and modified the genes of a cell by inserting DNA from another organism. And the bacteria replicated itself, thus creating a second generation of the synthetic DNA. And so basically the organism will do exactly what the scientists intended it to do, a living thing, but under the control of man. And what basically has happened, okay, is that, you know, the cell was assembled and sparked into life in a laboratory. So this technology has taken us across a threshold. It's a turning point, you know, that marked a coming age of a new science called synthetic biology, founded on the ambition that one day, very, very soon, maybe within the next year, year and a half, we'll be able to design and manufacture a being in a laboratory. I didn't say human being. I said a being because you could literally, with this tech, you know, modify a DNA using genetically modified crop and create a being that never existed before. And if you want an example of how this kind of technology could work, you know, take a child, for example. Mm-hmm. Not only will the parents have the opportunity to genetically select, or I should say elect, their children, literally building their characteristics like Lego, block by block, and in the process, creating a new breed of children, of disease, high level of IQ, you know, freckles, anything you want, okay? Not to mention mixing in other people's DNA with the couples to literally produce a new breed of humans based on the intervention of three different, you know, individuals minimum, okay? So the question is, are they still our children? Are they still children? Are they beings or are they human beings? But there's a darker side to this. Parents who misbehave, criminals, dissidents, people like you and I who think differently from the official party line of one world state could have their children's DNAs altered during pregnancy as punishment for their non-obedience. Mm-hmm. And what's more, by altering the DNA, the private corporations and governments can create a society without memory. People whose life experiences are stored on a memory drive running on a one-week cycle through modified DNA over and over and over and over again. So just think of that. Your memory is as long as 1 week, and then you go back to zero, you know, back to zero. So you don't need history, you don't need science, you don't need photographs, you don't need anything. Okay, it's a society created to be controlled by the super elite. So again, you have foreign policy, you have national policy, okay, and you have the global policy. And until you understand how the global policy of the super elite work, you will never understand how the world around us works.
Right. Well, that kind of reminds me of that movie AI, where they had the artificial child, David, that everybody was...
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, very good. Exactly.
And, you know, when I look at those movies, I've always said, if they've done a movie about it, that means they're either already doing it or they're going to be doing it. And I remember saying that when I saw Minority Report, and right after that was when John Ashcroft made Minority Report real in the United States when he started sweeping up the Muslims.
Well, you know, there's. Do you remember in Minority Report, Tom Cruise's character, John Anderton?
Yeah.
You know, when he's lying in a tub after he had his radical surgery to replace his eyes?
Uh-huh.
So that he can get past security system that scans his retina. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do.
And he's lying in his tub, you know, recovering from this black market procedure with, you know, this rag on his, you know, on his face. These tiny little robots sneak into the room and scan his eyes, trying to track down the fugitive future crime officer. Now, the ability to scan retina to identify people, you know, may seem like it's out of, you know, science fiction film, but outside of the use of the spider-like drone bots, this is very much present and very much near future terms. When I say near future, a couple of years from now. You know, engineers at Southern Methodist University are working closely with DARPA to develop a new type of eye scanner that could identify a room full of people without their knowledge. Okay? And these systems already exist. And then, of course, you have Men in Black, Amnesia Beam, okay? Or it's called, you know, the real world, it's called, you know, ADS, Active Denial System. Okay, this kind of stuff exists, and it is real. And if you want to go really way out there, again, we talked a few minutes ago about, Fox's series, Almost Human, you know, with a cyborg cop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right? I watched it. I found it quite boring, actually.
I don't know if you saw that.
I watched it. I couldn't get into it. You know, to me, it was very realistic, but it wasn't entertaining. I did see, and I don't know if you've seen the show Revolution. Which
if you look at the Fox's Almost Human, it's scary because, you know, the principal basis of the film is neuroscience,
right?
Which is a study of the nervous system.
Well, they also want you to
in chemistry,
right? They also want you to like
medicine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, neuroscience now also includes the study of molecular, cellular, developmental, structural, functional, evolutionary, computational, and medical aspects of the nervous system. So what you have is, you know, from molecular to cellular studies of individual nerve cells to imaging of sensory and motor tasks in the brain, neuroscience has crossed the threshold of science and has become a key element of national security apparatus the world over. And this is the kind of stuff that we're facing right now. You talked about, you know, John Ashcroft from, you know, back in the good old days, it seems. But people have to understand that these technologies are not being developed to help humanity. They're not being developed to stop the terrorist tide, although, you know, the government is fond of telling us that they're there to protect us from the terrorists. The technologies being developed at this level are there to stop us, the people, and the laws, that's important, to justify these technologies, were not written on a whim. They were specifically designed to give the government complete authority over the people during this chaos and confusion of the age we're living in right now, called the age of transition. Transition to a planetary civilization. And again, please download that report, Strategic Trends Report 2007-2036. Read it very carefully. You know, it's the backbone of my book. Not as far as the book itself, but certainly the basis where the information came from, the impetus, the kernel of the initial information came from that report. And what we're seeing around us is exactly what these people were planning for us. 2005 Bilderberg, I'd say they were at it, you know, back in the early 1990s.
I'm sure.
You know, the first report, which was a physical evidence of that this thing was coming to fruition, was put together at 2005 Bilderberg Conference in Germany.
Mm. Well, you know, now they have these new Google glasses that they're trying to sell people. They have a new pill that you can take up to 30 times a day to remember your passwords for all your gadgets. You can swallow a pill that will remember that. And when I look at these stories, I know the average person is saying, oh, this is great. It's going to make everything so easy for me. But they don't understand these are one step closer to making them a transhuman, some sort of hybrid.
You know, it's there's so much stuff out there, you know, brain-machine interfaces, which would allow, you know, control of machinery with your brain itself, implantable brain chips, which, you know, will allow you to store information and enhance your cognitive functions. All this kind of stuff, you know, cybernetic enhancement of human performance is absolutely inevitable. I'm not saying it's good or bad, okay? I'm not making these conclusions in my book. That's not what it's about, okay? I came to my book, you know, as a disinterested reader. It says I wanted to see what's out there, put it together, create a model, and say to people, this is what it is, and this is my contribution to the world. But, you know, the fact that you have, you know, the mass media, social media, and everybody else out there, they're going to make you believe, as you well know, trending topics, that it's cool to be walking around, you know, like a cyborg, you know, Blade Runner legs, you know, like Oscar Pistorius. It's cool to have a bionic eye. It's cool to have all these, you know, enhancements, which a lot of us already do because people, you know, who had a heart attack, they have a heart replacement surgery, other organs, you know, hand, leg. There's so much stuff out there. But one thing is because you need it. Another thing is because they're going to actually want you to exchange your perfectly functional body parts for upgraded applications because augmentation will be a huge business for these corporations. And if people don't believe me, there's a great video game. I don't play video games, but check it out. It's called Deus Ex, D-E-U-S, X, second word, E-X. Check this game out. Go to YouTube and just type in Deus Ex and see all the, you know, videos that they put out promoting it. It's incredible stuff. It's really eye-opening. But, you know, the fact that we've been integrating ourselves with this kind of technology for decades, and now they can ask you, you know, to replace your limbs, which are normal or maybe damaged, okay, with mechanical limbs, implanting data chips into our bodies, which give away huge amounts of information to governments and corporations across the world, okay? But it comes at a price because we will have to take drugs for the rest of our lives to make sure that these augmentations work because the people who will put it in us will make sure that they will only work if we take the drugs, and they're dangerous drugs, addictive drugs, and expensive drugs. And if you don't take these drugs, your body will reject your augmentation, and the elite will have their technology in us. They will have the power to turn off our limbs, the potential to turn off our eyes, to send messages to our brain and control our very thoughts as if they have the power of God. And the technology doesn't end there. Intel, for example, is working on sensors that will be implanted in the brain that will be able to directly control computers and cell phones. Now imagine, you know, if you can download, I don't know, a 500-page book and read it in, you know, one-tenth of 1 second. How many books you can read in 1 day? Imagine you can actually download everything that's on Google onto your computer the same way you would download it, you know, with an external drive. How would that change the world around us? But what they're actually talking about, again, this concept of transhumanism, singularity, you know, a hive mind mentality, it all goes, you know, to the same things which have been out there for years, which is, you know, Aldous Huxley's wet dream of scientific dictatorship without tears. Soma personified. The future is now.
Right. The quiet war, as you call it in your book. The quiet war. But I thought about, you know, like you said, you know, you do have a lot of questions when you read the book. And one of the questions I thought about when you talk about actually putting human minds into holographic bodies, or, you know, downloading our consciousness into a, you know, a fake body, you know, a copy. And of course, on a spiritual level, I said, well, isn't our soul, you know, already occupying an avatar just in the human body? And if they do this or create false life, which I'm going to call it false life, is there a soul attached to that? I mean, my mind went crazy with posturing after I read this book.
You know, it's these people are absolutely convinced that today they are the gods. that they have the technology to actually face the gods and beat them at their game. And if you actually look at the progress of technology, and then I'll tell you about, you know, the what you're talking about, you know, downloading or uploading your brain onto hologram bodies. You know, 100,000 BC, stone tools. 4,000 BC, the wheel. Then in the 9th century AD, we had the gunpowder. In the 15th century, the printing press, a real game changer, like today with the internet. 19th century, the light bulb, okay? 20th century, cars, television, nuclear technology, spacecraft, internet. Well, we're in the 21st century, and you're talking about biotech, nanotech, fusion, fission, space travel. In the next 50 years, you know, the transhumanists are convinced will be able to create cybernetic individuals who will be completely indistinguishable from us. Now, people may say, no way, Jose, but again, think about it. Think how far we have come from the first television sets 90 years ago today. And to the next generation into the future, it's simply mind-boggling. I mean, we have, you know, before we had a television set, and then we had a radio, and then we had a VHS video player, and we had a clock, and we had all these different gadgets. But, you know, today you have everything possible on one smartphone. You know, the single-use technological applications don't exist anymore. So what these scientists, who are, you know, part of the transhumanist movement, I'll give you a name, Ray Kurzweil, you know, the one of the greatest inventors of the 20th century, the head of Google Technology, and a poster boy for the transhumanist movement, people like him, Michio Kaku, Jason Silva, you know, these people are convinced that by 2035, that's like 20 years from now, and if you think 20 years from now, think back to when the Soviet Union fell apart back in 1991.
Right.
Well, that's like more than 20 years from now. You know, 20 years ago. So 20 years from now, by 2035, the scientists, and again, these are world-renowned scientists, astrophysicists, nuclear physicists, you know, people with Nobel Prizes, they're convinced that the first successful attempt to transfer one's personality to an avatar will take place. And they call this epoch of cybernetic immortality, the era of neo-humanity. And what they want to do is they want to incrementally move the human brain or mind into more disembodied futuristic vehicles. First, a humanoid robot controlled entirely by a human brain via brain-machine interface. Then a conscious human brain transplanted into a humanoid robot. Then consciousness itself uploaded to a computer. And finally, a hologram that contains a full conscious human mind. And now, this may seem futuristic, but all you need to do, just go and then Google Russia 2045 movement. These people are creating a new vector for civilization aimed at literally, again, creating, you know, this new ideal of what a human being will be, the redefinition of the world, people, for the planet Earth.
I know. When I read that, I said, oh, my God, I hope I'm dead first. I don't want my consciousness trapped on this planet forever. I want to be able to take it with me when I go. Daniel, I have to tell you, we could talk for hours and hours to come, but you know, we only have 2 minutes left. What do you suggest? What do you have a suggestion for people listening to this show?
I think it's important to understand that, you know, that it's such a thing as immortality exists. Okay, but not in a way that these people understand it. You know, what is the meaning of life? What does it mean, you know, to be a human being and then live and die? It's the idea of passing off the baton, you know, to the next generation, okay? Because, you know, life is the power of the universe, and the only thing greater than life is the power of the human mind. So, you know, each generation of humanity should be an improvement over the preceding generation in terms of power, understanding, and culture. Because then we, the people, mankind, there's a sense of dynamic moving forward from generation to generation. But today, that is missing. So we have to understand that the most important thing is not money, which has no intrinsic value, but to understand that a divine spark of reason is something that these people will never be able to replicate, no matter how hard they try, because it's what makes us human beings and we will always be there. We just have to understand that, you know, a decent society, you know, society based, you know, on classical culture, society understands the purpose of a moral education, developing, you know, this cognitive potential in each and every individual so that we measure up to the quality of a word such as citizen of the world. It doesn't mean citizen, you know, of a one world government. It means a human being living with other human beings on the planet Earth. And this is something that these people, in all their egolatry, you know, believing that they are the gods now, they simply don't understand.
Absolutely. Well, Daniel, thank you so very much for joining me, and I look forward to having you back on the show.
I'd love to be on your show again. Thank you so much for having me.
You're very welcome. Take care now. Daniel Estulin, thank you. Check his work out. And I got to tell you, this book is smoking hot. I mean, my sister called just to BS, and I was raving to her about this book. She already ordered it. Anyway, tomorrow, Dave McGowan returns for Sending the Clowns, so stay tuned. Thanks for supporting the show, and I'll see you guys then.
Thank you for listening and supporting the Maria Show. Tell others what you learned today. Knowledge becomes wisdom only when it's shared. Encourage others to subscribe today. www.maria.net. Often imitated, never duplicated. A world of information all in one place. www.maria.net. Always ahead of the curve. Always on your side. Get active or get radioactive. Subscribe today.